hearts.
Recording in progress.
Be always acceptable, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What is the shortest verse of the Bible? John chapter 11, verse 35. That's what I've always been taught, is that Jesus wept. And he was at the grave of his friend Lazarus, and Mary and Martha were there. And in this touching moment, when he was with the two women, we get a glimpse of our Lord's humanity. His heart was broken at the loss of his friend, and he wept for the sister's pain. The Greek literally says that Jesus shed tears. He physically responded to the loss. And from this, we can begin to grasp the pain that our Lord experienced in his incarnate life. As we look at the long Good Friday Gospel lesson that we just read from Matthew's Gospel, we are touched again by our Lord's pain, his suffering for us, and our suffering in him. For as Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We are crucified with Christ. So let's look at that passion narrative that we just read, beginning with chapter 26, verse 37 of Matthew's Gospel. It says that Jesus knew that he was going to die that night. Okay, he knew that that was coming. And in his humanity, he began to be sorrowful and troubled, it says. He cried out to his father, let this cup pass from me. How often do we cry to the Father to be delivered from sickness, from pain, from heartbreak? But his father allowed Jesus to experience the full pain and loss. He did not take the cup away from his son. And Jesus accepted that, saying, not my will, but thine be done. When the Lord doesn't take away our pain, are we willing to lay down our will? Jesus asked his chosen few to watch with him. But when he came to them, he found Peter, James, and John asleep. What a lonely feeling. What a heartache. What a heartache we feel when we are abandoned by those we love. And far worse, he was betrayed by Judas, one of his hand-picked disciples. And he was betrayed with a kiss. Those closest to us are the ones who can hurt us the worst. And it happens far too often. All of the remaining disciples also forsook him and fled. And sometimes we feel as Jesus did at that moment as he looked around and not a single familiar face was there. How often do we feel that we stand alone and there's no one there that we can turn to? Well, besides the disciples, besides those who were close to him, there was also a great crowd of people who had come out against him. These are the same people who had been in the temple, many of them sitting at his feet and listening to his teaching. And now they came out to attack him. How often is it that people we don't even know treat us unfairly? We try to do a good deed. We try to be kind. We try to reach out. And we are rebuffed. And we are despised for our efforts. Jesus stood before the religious leaders. And what happened? False witnesses rose up against him. His own people, the Jews, would not accept him. People he did not know lied about him. And how often are our words and deeds twisted by those who wish to do us harm? And even the soldiers who were entrusted with keeping order spat and struck him. Those sworn to protect him abused him. And how often are those who are sworn to protect us capable of turning on us and hurting us? And finally, he was dragged before the governor. And the governor, he washed his hands of Jesus, refusing to pardon him, even though he said, "I find no fault in the man." How often do civilian and political leaders fail us? You see, there is absolutely nothing that we can endure in this life that Jesus has not already experienced. And in him, we can overcome all of those tribulations. We are reminded in Romans that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he has already conquered all in his humanity. In him, we are victorious over every evil, every pain, every loss. And because Jesus died as a human being, he died as one of us. And we are healed. We are healed of the hurts, the betrayals, the false accusations, the abuse. We are healed of the sins that we have knowingly and unknowingly committed. And in him we have died, so that in him we may rise and have new life. At the cross, Jesus didn't just die for us. He died as us. The incarnate Son of God took our broken humanity and redeemed it. As we look at the cross, we are amazed by the nature and depth of God's love for us. But it's more than just a celebration of God's love and the forgiving of our sins. It's the celebration of our crucifixion with and in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 8 says, "We have died with Christ, and so we shall live in him." In Christ's humanity upon the cross, he has put away our fallen nature and our broken humanity. Yes, he died for us. But even more profoundly, we know that the old man in us died in him. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, Paul says, we are saved by his life. It was not simply his death that secured our salvation. It is his life, his humanity, his incarnate being. Our inclusion in the life that Jesus lives is what makes us a new creation. Because of our death and resurrection in Jesus, newness of life is ours in him. Now, I said at the beginning of this sermon that the shortest verse in the Bible is John chapter 11, verse 35. And this is true in the English translations of the scriptures. However, in the Greek New Testament, there is one verse that's shorter. In Greek, John 11:35 is three words. In Greek and English, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is only two words. Rejoice always. On this night, we rejoice, not just in what Jesus did for us, but what he did to us. In his humanity, he crucified the old us. Again, as Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Yes. Yes, Jesus wept. But because we have wept with him, and we have endured the shame and pain of the cross with him, we will rejoice with him as we live in him. Because we have been crucified with Christ, we can put away the weeping and we can rejoice always. Amen. Amen.